Hare Krishna. I'd like to wish a very big welcome, if you haven't already been welcomed, to this wonderful day here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, this Nityananda Trayodashi. So I just wanted to reflect on the kindness of Lord Nityananda and the mystery of Lord Nityananda. So I found a verse that I thought would help to explain this. And it goes like this. This is a beautiful verse. It's a declaration of his love and appreciation for the position and the mercy of Lord Nityananda. There are two things in this verse. One is the position of Lord Nityananda and the mercy of Lord Nityananda. In a great personality, if you find mercy as well as greatness, you've done very well. Some people are merciful, but they've got nothing to give. Thank you very much, but they may have nothing to give. Some people are great, but they don't want to give anything at all. Like these big companies that don't pay tax. They're very successful, but they don't want to pay anything at all to the likes of us. No mercy. Greatness, but no mercy. Mercy, but no greatness. But when you found them both in one person, then you had a success. And when that mercy and greatness is extended towards you, then you know that you've found a true friend. And somehow or another, somebody spotted you. This tiny speck of nothingness. This tiny spark that someone found you and is helping you. What a wonderful thing. So Krishnadas Kaviraj feels like this. And in the fifth chapter of the Adi Leela, he's expressing himself. He's got a right to express himself any way he likes. It's his book. And at the age of 90, you have the right to say whatever you like and to write whatever you like. And so he's doing it. So for him, in his life, and he knows for the community that follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a great debt to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. But he doesn't want us to forget it. And therefore he writes in a particular way in the fifth chapter of the Adi Leela. Now before I move on, I should tell you a story of how this week I was in illusion. Would you like to hear it? I thought you would. That's right. So I do my puja. I do my puja every day in the same spot, same chair, same window. And I looked out the window in autumn, and there was a little beetle that I remember from my youth. They're green. And like most other beetles, they have a number of legs and they have little antennas. And his name of this beetle is a cockchafer. And when I was a little boy, I used to catch these cockchafers, sometimes three at a time, and put them in a matchbox. And people have other names for them. And so I saw one on the window and I thought, just see, he's coming to the home. I'm chanting Vedic mantras here. The other side of the window, he must be listening to the Vedic mantras. He must be someone from his last life come here to. And then I looked again and I saw that he was clinging to the window in exactly the same place. So the next day I looked, he was in the same place. And I thought, oh, he must be coming here for the warmth, because the window is just above the radiator. So the radiator convects the heat upwards, the window gets warm. And I looked and there was another cockchafer. Well, his friend had come along. I could see little legs, little antenna. And I thought, oh, at least I'm able to give shelter to someone. My home is able to give shelter to someone. Little insects, they're coming. So by November, they were still there. And the cold winter was there. And I thought, how is it that they're always in the same place? They always come back to the same place. Maybe they're not getting any food. And then I looked and I thought, oh, they're dead. And they've been dead since the autumn. And they've been there on my window since the autumn. So then just this week, I looked and I saw that what I thought was a little insect was not a little insect at all. It was a splash of concrete from next door's construction. And the splash of cement had splashed on the window. And when a splash goes, it goes psh, like this. So there was his little legs, which weren't actually legs at all. It was just a splash of concrete. So then I began reflecting. Prabhuji has asked me to give class on the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. How can I give such a class when I'm in not only illusion, not only a double illusion, but a triple illusion, and then a quadruple illusion, because I'm supposed to be a Brahmin with clean windows? Now, at each stage of the illusion, are you liking my confession here on this? At each stage of the illusion, I had constructed a story which fitted the illusion. Do you understand? So the story I constructed was, this little insect was hearing Vedic mantras through the glass. Okay? Illusion number one. Story number one. Story number two, he had come to get the warmth. Illusion number two, story number two. You see how it goes on? For every illusion, there's a story that we tell ourselves. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that we are in so many layers of illusion that there's like dust on a mirror. Like dust on a mirror. How many layers of dust build up over time on a mirror? So we're in an illusion, within an illusion, within an illusion, within an illusion. And for each degree of the illusion, we tell ourselves a story. So, bhumi rapo nalo mayu kang mano eva cha. Every degree of material substance which covers the soul has a story. And that's the story that we've told ourselves. Now, many people, when you go for, I don't know, therapy or counseling, or you just go to a man with red braces who punches the air and tells you, you can do this. Okay? Punch the air and you can go, yeah, I can do this. What they're trying to do is to try to set you free from the script that you have written for yourself. To set us free from the script. Because we all tell ourselves that we're not good enough, or we're not this, or we're not this. And at the same time, we're telling ourselves, I am, I am, I am. This is what I am. And it's all layers and layers based on misconceptions. So that is why a very powerful person has to come and to remove the illusions by giving the truth. And we're so fortunate that at every juncture in our life, not just this life, but in a previous life, and the life before that, and the life before that, and the life before that, somebody has come and spoken to you in such a way that today you could be sitting here with tilak on your forehead celebrating the appearance of Lord Nityananda. That's no small mercy. That is, each lifetime we have lost a little bit of that conditioning that today we're allowed to be here. And make no mistake about it, it is not that we have decided to come here. Not that somehow or another, yeah, I made the decision, it's all me, I decided. No, we are products of mercy. We're sitting here by mercy, and we're listening by mercy. And then, by mercy, we shall act upon the words that we hear when we come and sit in an assembly of devotees. And what a wonderful thing. So when Narottam Das Thakur prays to his guru, he says, your mercy is all that I'm made of. He's not simply expressing an emotion, although a nice emotion as it is. He's expressing an ontological reality, a philosophical premise that everything that I understand and everything that I have now forgotten, everything that I've now remembered, is a product of mercy. So the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu is a movement of mercy. And each of us has to constantly remember in our own lives and also then extend that mercy to others. You know, there's been a big debate raging, not in ISKCON. There's enough of those going on. But there's a big debate raging in the world of the supermarket. Will people buy knobbly vegetables? Will people buy vegetables that don't look like a carrot, that don't look like a radish, or in some way they're misshaped? Huh? Because for years now we've been sold vegetables that don't quite... They're perfect, isn't it? Perfect. So people have got used to the idea of perfect vegetables. And therefore, the supermarkets were very hesitant to sell vegetables that didn't look like what the customers expected. This happens in all spheres of life. But Nityananda's movement, Lord Nityananda's movement, is for those vegetables that are somehow imperfect. Those vegetables that don't quite match up to the perfection that you would expect. The imperfect that didn't quite make it. Lord Nityananda's mercy extends even to us. Yes, us. I'm talking about us. Well, obviously you're not talking about me. I've got Bhakti Shastri. I'm one of those perfect vegetables, shiny, smart. No, it's us. It's us people who are not qualified, the unqualified, those born in the families of unqualified persons who are making themselves qualified only by mercy. So sometimes in a movement like ours, we do talk in terms of finding perfect members, perfect vegetables, perfect people. But that's not what this movement is about. Lord Nityananda's mercy extends to everybody, to everyone. That literally means everyone. Bring all your problems to Lord Nityananda. Bring all your insufficiencies, your inadequacies. Bring that to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda's mercy reaches everyone. And that's what mercy means. It means that there's no stopping point. There's no cutoff point. There's no point where someone's ineligible to be a devotee of Krishna. And that's why this movement will be very, very successful. Very, very successful. Because we extend ourselves to everyone. I hope you do. Because that's how this movement was born and how it will continue. If we don't do that, then we shan't continue. We should become locked tight into whichever class we think this movement belongs. High class, middle class, working class, this class, that class, this ethnicity, that division. But if we actually understand the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, the movement will go everywhere and reach everyone. Nobody will be exempted. I just wanted to say that in the first few minutes because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is at great pains to state that in the opening chapters. You see, the fifth chapter, you get the invocation and then you get the opening chapters. In the opening chapters, we set out who this book is about. Yes, it's the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it's also about Nityananda. And those who try to understand the mercy of Chaitanya without Nityananda, what happens to them? They fall away. So right here in this early chapter, he mentions this. I was talking with my friend, who sent me a piece of information written by a scholar devotee, and it's his latest research on Narahari. Every evening we sing Narahari's name, isn't it? That he was dancing. He was there in the kirtan that has been described at Srivast Thakur's house, the 24-hour kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya is there. Lord Brahma is there. Lord Shiva is there. And Narahari's name is there. Mukunda, Vasugo, Shadi Gaya. They're all singing. So this Narahari, he was a great person. He was as close to the Panchatattva members as anyone could be. And he wrote a book called the Bhajanamrita. Many years ago, certain verses of that book were translated in the 80s to sort of help our movement when we really needed a little bit of support. But the rest of the book wasn't translated, but it is very interesting. And in that book, he says, in the future Vaishnavas, the future followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will have to be very careful of four things. And he talks about these four things, and they're about philosophies that they could possibly... They're not unusual, but one of the things that he says is that forgetting about Balaram. He says, the Vaishnavas of the future must be very careful not to forget Balaram, not to forget Sankarshan, he says. Balaram Sankarshan, as in Nityananda Prabhu. So then this is very... I thought this was very strange, something that out of the four things that we could do wrong as a modern-day following of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is the one thing that he signals out. And then I read the story of Miniketana Ram Das, and it sort of clicked into place. Miniketana Ram Das was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, and it just so that Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And in the home at Jamatpur, which is in the Katwa district, they used to have kirtans all day. Now, how many houses in London would you find that had kirtan going all day? Any of us have kirtan going all day? But in this house, there was kirtan going all day. And so they were having another big festival with kirtan going all day. And they invited Miniketan Ramdas. Now, like Lord Nityananda, he was slightly unpredictable, like father, like son, like guru, like shisha. So he was slightly unpredictable. And sometimes in his ecstasy, he would slap people. Or poke. He carried a flute, and he played a flute to accompany his singing. And sometimes he would poke people in the ribs with his flute. So you can invite him, but he's slightly unpredictable. So Krishnas Kaviraj's brother, it was his home. Krishnas was there. And in keeping with many well-to-do families, there was a fellow Brahmin who had been invited to do the puja. His name was Gunarnava Mishra. And he'd been invited. And like Krishnas Kaviraj's brother, he was a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was very difficult, you see, not to be a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very very well known. He was the celebrity of the day. Intellectually, and the way he dressed, and his beautiful looks, he had it all going. And then he had this devotional mood, this devotional ecstasy. And not only that, but when you were in his company, you would feel devotional yourself. And so with all this going on, it was very difficult not for him to be popular. But Lord Nityananda had his followers, and he had his detractors. And this was because when you put the two of them together, you had two different persons. And they looked different. Their behavior was different. We'll go into that in a little bit. But Miniketan Ram was invited. And because he was a follower of Lord Nityananda, Gunarnava Mishra didn't offer him respects, whereas he respected everybody. Krishnas's brother didn't offer him respects. And when someone comes to your home, you offer them respect. At least you offer them a cushion. Here's some water. Here's a smile. And can I offer you something to eat? Or some sweet words. Not even anything to eat, but sweet words. These are the four things that you're meant to offer someone who comes to your home. And they're all very cheap. Cushion, you already have one. Water, you should have one inside your house. A smile and some sweet words doesn't cost you anything at all. So Vedic culture doesn't ask us to overextend ourselves, just a little something. But this little something was not forthcoming. And so Miniketan Ram, it wasn't that he was petulant, it wasn't that because he had not been offered respect, but he knew, he understood, that you had not offered the representative of Lord Nityananda. Because I'm associated with Nityananda, you've not offered respect. And so after some time, after some kirtan and some prasadam, he did something that was a demonstration of his intolerance towards his disrespect to Nityananda. He broke the flute that was his insignia. He broke the flute, threw it on the floor, and he went away. So Krishnadas turned to Gunarnava Mishra and his brother, and he upbraided them. He said, "You shouldn't have done that. It was very, very insolent. At least you should have been cordial." Mm-hmm. So he belabored the point. He said, "And Nityananda, you should understand his position. Externally, you cannot understand him. He's a great mystery. But internally, you should have understood his position. Just knowing that the Lord that you do follow is his great friend, you should have been a friend to his friend." You see. And so Krishnadas writes in the fifth chapter, he said, "And that night, I know that I'd said the right thing. He said, "I know that I'd said a good thing." Because normally you want to keep the peace between devotees, don't you? Yeah? Even a devotee says something that's way off, even philosophically or this or that, complete misconception. Still, you smile and you offer them a glass of water and you go, "Jai, Jai Prabhu." Your realizations of penetrated my soul. The back of your head, you may be thinking, he's way off. Who's his mentor? Okay. So then he said, but that night I knew, because he had a dream that night. This is a very interesting dream. Dreams are very, they're manipulated by God, some of these dreams. Not every dream. Some are simply manipulated by your stomach, by that piece of cheese that you had too late at night, some undigested food. But when a dream is given to you by God, there's two things that happen. One is that God will send a message that's just for you. And no one can quite understand this dream except you. And when you wake up from that dream, you will have emotions pertaining to that dream. Anybody ever had a dream like that? And everybody puts their hand up and says, yeah, everybody's had a dream like that. These dreams are actually important because they're ways of, looking at from a Jungian perspective. We are struggling with the subconscious is opening up and giving us a little story. And according to the religious interpretation, God himself is pointing us in a particular direction. So the whole reason why we have a Chaitanya Charitamrita in the first place is because of this dream. And this dream, Lord Nityananda, or Lord Balaram, you decide who it was. Was it Lord Balaram showing himself to be Nityananda? Was it Lord Nityananda showing himself to be Balaram? What a great mystery. You listen to the dream. Listen to the dream. And then tell me what you think. Okay? That night, are you listening? Okay? That night, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother. In the village of Jamatpur, which is near Naihati, Lord Nityananda appeared to me in a dream. Now, normally you don't say where you had the dream in order to make a correlation between the physical reality or the geographical reality and the mental reality of the dream. But he's saying that that dream was real and that Lord Nityananda actually appeared in this village. I fell at his feet, offering my obeisances, and then he then placed his own lotus feet upon my head. Arise, utta utta balimore, bale bharabhar, uttitara rupadeki hainu chamatkar. Arise, get up, he told me again and again. Upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. So sometimes you don't see yourself in a dream, and sometimes you do. And when you sometimes see yourself in a dream, sometimes your behavior is quite good, right? You see yourself behaving as you should in the dream. So who's seeing you? Who's the observer? The observer is seeing you, and he's seeing himself bow down. He said, upon rising, I was greatly astonished to see his beauty. He had beautifully formed hands, arms and legs, and eyes like lotus flowers. He wore a silk cloth with a silk turban on his head. He wore golden earrings on his ears and golden armlets and bangles. He wore tinkling anklets on his feet and a garland of flowers around his neck. His body was anointed with sandalwood pulp, and he was nicely decorated with tilak. His movements surpassed those of a maddened elephant. His face was more beautiful than millions upon millions of moons, and his teeth were like pomegranate seeds because of his chewing betel. His body moved to and fro, right to left, for he was absorbed in ecstasy. He chanted, Krishna, Krishna, in a deep voice. His red stick moving in his hand, he seemed like a maddened lion. All around the four sides of his feet were what? What were around the four sides of his feet, front and back? Huh? Huh? Ah, bumblebees, thank you. Bumblebees around his feet. His devotees, dressed like cowherd boys, surrounded his feet like so many bees and also chanted, Krishna, Krishna, absorbed in ecstatic love. What a dream. What a beautiful dream. Some of them played horns and flutes, and others danced and sang. Some of them offered betel nuts, and others waved chamara fans about him. Thus I saw such opulence in Lord Nityananda Swarup. His wonderful form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental. Now there's a mystery here. There's a great mystery. What is the mystery that I've read out? Did you hear it? I've just read something that should have made you go, "Excuse me, Mr. Speaker, I need to ask you a question." He had a glossy, blackish complexion. Glossy, blackish complexion. Isn't that strange? Okay. I was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, not knowing anything else. Then Lord Nityananda smiled and spoke to me as follows. "Oh, my dear Krishna Das, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things." After saying this, he directed me toward Vrindavan by waving his hand. Then he disappeared with his associates. I fainted and fell to the ground. My dream broke, and when I regained consciousness, I saw that morning had come. I thought about what I had seen and heard and concluded that the Lord had ordered me to proceed to Vrindavan at once. That very second, I started for Vrindavan, and by his mercy, I reached there in great happiness. All glory to Lord Nityananda Balaram, by whose mercy I have attained shelter in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan. All glory to the merciful Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan. By his mercy, I have attained the shelter of the great personality, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and by his mercy, I have found the refuge of Sri Swarup Damodara. By the mercy of Sanatan Goswami, I have learned the final conclusions of devotional service, and by the grace of Rupa Goswami, I have tasted the highest nectar of devotional service. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained Sri Radha Govinda. So, it is amazing that he attributes everything in his life, basically, to this one dream. This one dream where Lord Nityananda came and gave him one direction, one commandment, if you like. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will get all things. So I thought I would begin by reading that. There is a great mystery to Lord Nityananda, therefore, in that sometimes we are warned, even in the later degree of the text of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one who neglects the worship of Lord Nityananda can never get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But I ask the question, if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is all-merciful, the most merciful, he's the incarnation of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, where is the possibility that his mercy would not extend to us without the mercy of Lord Nityananda? But we're given this instruction, and we're given this instruction for a reason. And the reason is, it seems to me, from my reading, that we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to forget. And if we have a tendency to forget, the tendency of those who are helping us is to help us to remember. So if we need every scrap of mercy that is possible, is it not that we need Lord Nityananda's mercy? So the great Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has given us a warning, practically speaking. He gets quite fiery in some places in the text of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Perhaps he sees the future. Narahari Thakur, Narahari Sakur Thakur, he, He also sees, and he deliberately says, this is the future where people will forget Nityananda. And so we are counseled never to forget, and therefore we are always Nitai Gaur or Gaura Nitai, the complete component in this age. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas. Therefore, one time Prabhupada was asked, what do you need to become Krishna conscious in the age of Kali? And Prabhupada simply said, he said, you just need this picture. And he pointed to a picture of Panchatattva. He said, you need this picture. He said, you need the Hare Krishna mantra and a place to sit and remember them and chant. So he said many, many things. I'm selecting that one thing that Prabhupada said on that one time. He said, you just simply need these things. A picture of the Panchatattva and the holy name of Krishna. Now, do I need a Bhakti Shastri certificate? Do I need this? Do I need dhotis, tilaks? Do I need Gauranitai Murti in my home? These things are all very helpful. But just this picture and a string of beads. And pretty much in the early days, that's all we had. Picture of Panchatattva and the beads. There was one gentleman and his wife. They were both artists. And they lived in France. It was a time in France when we had a lot of mercy being distributed in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books. And a very touching story. And they somehow or another they got a book. But you know, sometimes when people get books and they don't get anything else, Krishna consciousness develops in a, you know, their enthusiasm helps it to develop in a strange way that we might not recognize. Oh, that's not how we do it in the temple. See? How many people are there like that who've got books but no devotees? That's because there are many more books than there are devotees. So there's many people reading and misunderstanding than people being guided by devotees. And our movement has to change that. We have to at least have, you know, one book, one devotee per village. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu made it their business to talk about every town and every village. That's another story. So in this particular village in France, they'd got the book, and just they relished the few pictures that were in the book, but they didn't have anything else. They had Prabhupada's words, and they had the Maha Mantra. And even the Maha Mantra, sometimes people get wrong, because they can't understand the dots. You know, the dots. There's only 200 people in the world can understand the dots. And they're all university professors. Most people, when they see the dots, they go, Kirsner. It was a devotee distributing books in Sweden. And after a long day book distributing in the snow, he came back to the hotel, and he heard some people mumbling away like bees inside their room. And he put his, you know, I don't recommend this, but he put his ear to the door, the hotel room door, and he was listening, and he heard the following syllables. Hey, Kirsner, Kirsner, Kirsner. Well, they were Swedish, after all. Kirsner, Kirsner, hey, Rama, hey, Rama, 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 hey. They were doing the best that they could with just what they saw in the book, but they were seriously putting it into practice. Because he knocked on the door and explained, yes, I was that person that you met, and it's actually Hare Krishna. So this couple in France, they were artists, and they had read somewhere that, you know, in every home, Prabhupada said, there should be Gaura Nitai. But they didn't know, you know, there was a picture of Gaura Nitai. They didn't know Radha Krishna. They didn't know. So they had, but what they did have was this, you know, every artist, when they want to draw the human form, they have a little wooden doll with, you know, like this, okay? And so they set up this doll, this artist's model on a homemade shrine. I don't know if you've ever been to people's homes and you've seen their altars, you know, when they're just beginning. You know, there's a seagull feather and a crystal and a piece of driftwood, picture of Prabhupada, and then picture of someone else that you know. So you get everything on the one altar. It's okay. We need to move on sometimes. You can drop the seagull feathers eventually. But. So they had a little altar like that, full of artist-type things, and they had this one figure that they took to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they didn't know anything. So they said, oh, yes, He said, every day we put him in a different position. So some days he's like this. Some days he's like this. Some days he's like this. And some days he plays a flute. Some days he looks like that. And some days his hands are like this. And then his legs are in different positions. And the devotee went, oh, that's very nice. Very nice. It was speculation, but very nice. Because this is how you come, you know. So there is a great mystery. And like the multiple levels of illusion, we have to please relieve ourselves in this lifetime. This is the lifetime that we get a chance to move on very speedily. And it's meant for learning. This lifetime is actually meant for, you know, learning. Constant learning and constant giving. Learning, sharing, practicing, sharing, and then praying. Praying for more. So, there are many things I could say to focus in on the life of Lord Nityananda. The boys did an excellent job, didn't they? I was no longer at Bhaktivedanta Manor. I was taken immediately to another place, the London Palladium. No, I was taken to Navadvip. So we have Lord Nityananda really has been spoken of by all our acharyas. We don't know the name of the person who looked after Lord Nityananda for 20 years. What we do know is that at some point he was introduced to two very important persons in our line. Some say that he took initiation from them. And of course you can reason that Lord Nityananda has no reason to take initiation from anyone. But he was given something by them. So one was Lakshmipati Tirtha. And Lakshmipati Tirtha is a disciple of Vyasa Tirtha. And Vyasa Tirtha comes in the line from Madhvacharya. Now Vyasa Tirtha was a very interesting person. We don't know a great deal about him and we don't focus in on him because we focus mainly on gurus from the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu onwards. But he had his own Sankirtan movement. He had and he had his theatrical movement. Two ways he wanted to get everybody to chant the name of Hari, which was the business of the age of Kali. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and really set it on fire, but it was happening. You know, it's in Shastra, so you can expect that other people did it before the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually began in 1510. So he was there in the 1430s, 1450s, and he encouraged people to do plays that would reveal to them Leela, and also to join together to sing songs. And that's where the great tradition of the southern Purandar Das and the different singers came from. One time I went to a deity installation ceremony in Bangalore, and it was a, you know, 5-day extravaganza. And one of the days was just kirtan. And there was group after group after group after group just coming and singing these beautiful songs from the 14, 1500s, 1600s, like that. Very nice. So that was going on. So it's indicative that Lord Nityananda was introduced to a disciple of this person. Then he was also introduced, of course, to who? Madhavendra Puri, who we do know as his guru. Madhavendra Puri was also the spiritual master of Advaitacharya and Ishwarapuri, who was the guru of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's right. So things are fitting into place, and Lord Nityananda is there. He's meeting with these great personalities. But of course, he's 12 years older. He's 12 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu is, what is he? He's 20. He's 20 at the time. And when they finally meet, even it is said by Vrindavan Das Thakur that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu occasionally while performing kirtan at Srivas Thakur's house, occasionally they would hear the very loud roaring in separation of Nityananda Prabhu off in the distance. He would hear Nityananda's voice off in the distance. Vrindavan Das talks about that. That these two brothers, Krishna and Balaram, were separated by some distance. And eventually he came to Vrindavan He said, oh, if you want to see Krishna. He said, where is Krishna? He said, my friend, if you want to see him, Vrindavan, they say that he has come. If you want to see Krishna, they say he has come to Navadvip. And so he came. Now, this is a description of the personality who was on his way to Navadvip. He was blue. He wore blue, I should say. He was blue with a blue chador. He had a necklace of tulsi and rudraksha beads. He had armlets, bangles, an earring in one ear, nupura footbells. He had his hair tied back with a string of gunja beads. Gunja beads, that's these little black and red beads, gunja beads. He had eyes like a deer. He was sometimes laughing and sometimes crying. He had a steady walk as if he was used to walking. He had a good firm walk. But sometimes he had a drunken walk when experiencing waves of love of God. So by this time, the Sankirtan movement was already beginning, but due to there's descriptions in the Chaitanya, is it Chaitanya Bhagavat, or is it, there's another text that said that the occupational forces in India at the time had restricted the blowing of conch shells. You could not blow a conch, you could not ring a bell, you could not sing the names of God outside your house. There was to be no public preaching of any kind. Can you imagine a country? Well, we still have countries like that. But this was the situation. When you think of Navadvip, we always think of the post-Mahaprabhu Navadvip, don't we? Post-Chankazi. But this was pre-Chankazi, pre-beginnings. Very repressive. Very repressive. So then they could not do Sankirtan in the streets. So Lord Chaitanya, at one point, he said, within a day or two, an exalted personality will come here. And Lord Chaitanya had a dream that night, the very night that he told them that. This is Lord Chaitanya's dream. It's all dreams today, isn't it? He said, I saw a beautiful chariot with a flag on top that stopped outside my door. The wonderful passenger carried a large pillar on his shoulder and a stick tucked into his waist. He held a pitcher in his left hand and repeatedly asked, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? He said, I am your brother, and we will meet and know each other tomorrow. So Lord Chaitanya was telling that story. He said, Lord Chaitanya went into a mood, and he went into the mood of Balaram, and he was crying out for Varuni beverage. Devotees had never seen him like this before. He's coming from a good Brahmin family. Why would you want Varuni beverage? That's for others. They said, the Varuni that you're looking for is all here. The sweet taste that you're looking for is all here. They'd never seen him like that before. So the very next day, as we saw in the play, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Haridas, who by this time was how old? At least 65, wasn't he? He was very old at this time. Yeah. He sent Haridas and Srivas to look for Nityananda. So they took a lot of people with them. They were away for 9 hours. Couldn't find anyone. Okay. So then he said, it is not my surprise that you cannot find him. He is Balaram. He said, I will come with you this time. So then they went down the streets and they were looking, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were singing, Jai Shri Krishna.
Jai Shri Krishna.
Jai Shri Krishna.
Jai Shri Krishna.
Jai Shri
Krishna.
And they came to a place known as Ishwarjan, which was a garden, and there lived a great devotee called Nandan Acharya. And you saw on the play depicted when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Nitai for the first time. They're all stunned to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda embrace. You know, this embrace between Chaitanya and Nityananda, this is a whole play in itself. It's a whole theater in itself. There's no, you know, it's just all the music, all the drama, all the poetry just ends in this embrace. Same as the embrace between Lord Ram and Bharat. It's a whole play in itself. There are villages in India, especially in the north, in the south, everywhere really, where they just, they have two young boys, one dressed as Ram and one dressed as Bharat. They haven't seen each other for 14 years. And one starts at the top of the village, one starts at the bottom of the village, and there's 150,000 people queuing along the street just to see one brother greet another brother. That's it. The king is there sitting on the elephant. There's a band at one end and a band at the other. There's Vedic hymns being chanted. And what do? These two boys, they just walk down the street. And as they walk towards each other, closer, 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 the crowd gets worked out and they're chanting, 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 chanting. And eventually, there's just a hug in the middle of the village. And everybody goes crazy. Because they know the story and they know how Bharat has been missing Ram and how Ram has been missing Bharat. And this is such a wonderful moment that they want to play over and over and over again. So in Bengal, they do this play of Chaitanya meeting Nityananda. And it's not a one-off, you know, it's just not a short thing. It's a big whole drama that leads up to it. But eventually this is the high point, them meeting. We can scarce do it justice in this class. So, the very movement that we belong to, the very fact that we have this tilak on our forehead and neck beads, and we're sitting here before Radha Gokulananda and Shishi Gauranitai and Sitaram on this beautiful day, we owe everything to this moment when Gora met Nitai. And from that moment onwards, it was Gora in Nitai and Nitai and Gora. Gora Nitai ki! Shri Nitai Gaura ki. So the next day, and of course both Gadadhar and Srivas are there, singing prayers from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Beautiful verses describing Krishna, just to enhance the mood of the devotees. So the very next day, Lord Chaitanya, the next day was Guru Purnima. Guru Purnima, we don't celebrate that very much, but it's actually the birthday of Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva is a real person. He has a birthday, and we celebrate it. It's called Vyasa Puja. Now, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took that Vyasa Puja, and he applied it to the Guru, who's the representative of the Vyasadeva. But in India, you celebrate Vyasa Puja, Guru Puja, Guru Purnima on that particular day. It's in when? June, July? And everybody who's got a teacher of any kind, that's the day. If you want to take an apple to your teacher, that's the day when a school child, because the teacher is teaching you, therefore all of your teachers are representative of Srila Vyas. So at least once a year, your kids get to do something good for you. So every shishya finds his guru and says, Gurudev, here's a bag of rice, like that. So formal, there's a picture of Vyasadeva and people worship the picture or the painting or the murti. So the next day after meeting Lord Nityananda was Guru Purnima. So Lord Chaitanya, he said, because he was a senior, Nityananda was a senior, so he said, where would you like to celebrate Vyasa Puja? He said, well, right here. And he pointed to Srivas Thakur's house. He said, in this Brahmin's house. Then Lord Chaitanya, he said to Srivas Thakur, he says, this is a very heavy responsibility for you, Srivas. He said, having Nityananda in your house on the day of Guru Purnima. So they all went to the house. They locked the doors so no one could just get in and disturb them. And they had big, loud kirtan. During the kirtan, they gradually, you know, as kirtans do, of course, faster, louder, more excitable. And they began trying to teach trying to dance, they were dancing, and trying to catch each other's feet. You must have seen this, maybe you've seen it in Mayapur, where devotees at the height of a kirtan, they try to touch the feet of the Vaishnava, and the other Vaishnava has to jump out of the way, And eventually everyone's jumping because everyone's trying to touch the feet. So it's not an ISKCON thing. It's a Gornutai thing. So then Lord Chaitanya then, in his ecstasy, called out for a plow and a club. And again, he called out for Varuni drink. Then he called out, Nada, Nada, shouting that this was the person who had brought him there from Vaikuntha. Now, Lord Nityananda, as you know, and as we described, very, very in words that almost defy theological intelligence, actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's introduction to the subject of Nityananda, for anybody who was not already a follower. See, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a book for people who are already theologically convinced of the position of Chaitanya. But for some who come, his statements, in one sense, for anybody outside the circle of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, would be seen as very strange statements. In other words, that Lord Nityananda is the source of Vishnu. How can you say that? He was there in the 15th century, 16th century. He was there. You know, he was a historical person. When Jagai and Madai threw the... Who was it? Was it Jagai or was it Madai? Huh? Madai. When he threw the pot, he bled. So how is it possible? How is it possible? Yes, perhaps Krishna bled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Huh? It is said that his arrows, isn't it, Madhva? You know, your father's the expert. The blood which flowed from Krishna was like the volcano. The volcano coming down the side of the mountain. So how is this possible? How is this possible that you can both manifest these things and be God and untouched and pure at the same time? But it is possible. And it is just about theologically doable. But now we have an extra statement that Lord Nityananda is not only an incarnation of Vishnu, or God himself, but that Karanadakshai, Garbhadakshai, Shiradakshai Vishnu, who you've all heard about as being God, I'm talking about the non-Gaudiyas, the Sri Vaishnavas, the Madhvas, would have Vishnu as the ultimate personality of Godhead. And here's this author claiming that Nityananda is the origin of the three Vishnus. How is that possible? How can you make such a statement? So then he has to explain. And in modern theological terms, it is something called hypostasis. Hypostasis, it's a Greek word, hypostasis, which means God has expansions, and each expansion, although it may be generated from another expansion, is no less than the original. And of course, the simple analogy that we have is the one candle lights another candle, which lights another candle, and all three candles burn as brightly as each other. You don't get the first candle lighting the second candle, and the second candle is just respectfully smaller. Humble candle. And then the Chota candle, you know, the Kanishta candle, is just, you know, it's a lit, but it's flickering. We don't find this. So this is hypostasis, that one incarnation is under, if you like, or secondary to the other, but there's no less a diminution of power. So then he explains that Balaram is actually Sankarshan. And then he does what is required to a medieval audience, but isn't really required in 2019 because we don't follow these literatures. Actually, we do, but we say that we don't. They're known as the Pancharatra. Pancharatra literature explains things like building a temple, carving the deity, coming up to Prabhupada and offering him a flower garland, touching the feet, bowing down, paying obeisances, offering arti, incense, lamp. Where do we get all this from? Is it in the Bhagavad Gita? No. Is it in the Srimad Bhagavatam? A little bit, where Krishna talks to Uddhava. Is it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? No. Where is it then? Well, Prabhupada taught it to us. It's actually from Pancharatra. And Pancharatra, 200 scriptures of Pancharatra were compiled into Haribhakti Vilas. Haribhakti Vilas was compiled into Satkriya Sardipika. And then we get little manuals. Eventually, in 1976, Prabhupada said, should we have a manual for pujas and worshipping the deities? And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, 20 pages will be enough. They eventually presented Prabhupada with a book, which was 80 pages. I said, all right. But 20, it went to 20 pages. So we're less on ritual and more on mantras, more on mercy. So, but the other thing in the Pancharatra is who incarnates as who and from whom the incarnations come. And so there we find that there is a succession of incarnations, and they come from what is known as Sankarsana. Sankarsan is the primary expansion of Vasudev. Vasudev in our language is Krishna. Sankarsan is Balaram. And then from that primary expansion comes the secondary quadruplets, Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, which are in Dwaraka. And then from Dwaraka, we get Vaikuntha. And then from Vaikuntha, we get the three Vishnus, Karanadakshai Vishnu, or as we say, Mahavishnu, who sits beyond this world and from whom the worlds come. Garbhadakshai Vishnu, who enters into each universe and from whom comes Brahma, the engineer or the creator of the universe. And then Shiradakshai Vishnu, who is the Vishnu present, not only within his own planet, Shvetadvip, within every universe, but also within the core of the human heart as Paramatma or the Antarayami. So in this way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is taking us on a pancharatric journey, a theological journey, and he's asking us to please accept this conclusion. And then the rest of Chaitanya Charitamrita is an exposition, really, of why we should accept Nityananda's position as Sankarsan Balaram. You see? So then, these identities, these secret identities are revealed as we go through, as we go on. And he says, so he's calling out, you see, Sankarsan is that aspect of the Lord's eternal reality who always makes arrangements, just like when we have Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, they come out on the chariots, right, for Rath Yatra. And as everybody knows, first comes Jagannath, because it's Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. So it's Jagannath, Baladev, and then Subhadra last, right? No? Where did I speak wrong? What did I say wrong? Who was watching at the last Rath Yatra? What were you thinking about at the last Rath Yatra? Water, ice cream, sun hat, sun cream. That girl, this boy, should they be walking together? What magazine are they distributing over there? Get them out there. What were you thinking on Rath Yatra? Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, that's how it goes, right? No. What is it? How does it go? Balaram, then? Yeah? So why? Why is Balaram first? Oldest, yeah. Okay. Okay, hold on to that. Any other reason? Yes, Balaram's taking care of business. Thank you, Jayadev. Balaram is taking care of business. The Sankarsan feature of the Lord, Parasya Shakti, the Lord is the sum and substance of all energies that stream from him. Every energy that comes from the Lord is personal. We should not think just as sunshine is impersonal and the sun has a shape. Therefore, the energies that come from Krishna have no shape. Every energy that comes from Krishna, according to this hypostasis theology, is personal. So the Lord expands as Balaram. And Balaram then expands as all the functions to serve the Lord, because everything which is expanded from the Lord is serving the Lord. Just like in Krishna's Kaviraj's dream, around the Lord's feet are bumblebees and servants and singers and bugle blowers and flower offerers. Wherever there is Krishna, there is also service to Krishna. You cannot have Krishna. It's like Prabhupada said, you'll never see a picture of Krishna miserable. You never see a picture of Krishna miserable. He said, you'll never see a picture of Krishna smoking or going to the factory. You'll always see it because he's always happy. Nitya Ananda. So Krishna's always happy because he's always with his devotees. Prabhupada also said, you'll never see a picture of Krishna alone. Krishna is never alone. He's always with his devotees. Even it may be a cow, cowherd boy, gopi, Radha, you know, you'll always see a picture of Krishna with his devotees. So similarly, all the devotees that serve Krishna and all the arrangements for service, and is usually listed in Pancharatra, the bed of the Lord, the serpent bed upon which the Lord lies, is Anantashesha. This is Sankarsana. The puja paraphernalia that worships the Lord, Sankarsana. The temple which houses the Lord, Sankarsana. You see? So really, the service attitude is Sankarsana. And therefore, because the service attitude can only be given by the person who has it in toto, which is Latin for completely, that is Balaram or Sankarsan, therefore the guru or acharya, he is mentioned as being the representative of Sankarsana or Balaram or, in our line, Nityananda. So Nityananda's mercy is represented by the person who engages you in service. You see? But all these items. So who makes arrangements for Krishna to come to this world? Who comes first to draw Krishna into this world? You think since he's Krishna and he's first in everything, he's the premium personality, he's the primary force within existence, that he would come first. He gets to come first. No. The leader never gets to come first. You know that? First come the security guards. Did you know that? There was once, we had the Prime Minister of India was coming to Krishna Balaram Temple. Gauri, you might have been there at the time. It was quite some years ago. I think it was Vajpayee. And he was coming. The devotees had made what they thought were suitable arrangements to greet the Premier. But first of all, the Prime Minister didn't walk into the temple. It was first of all the black cats. I'm not talking about a pussycat. I'm talking about the black cat commandos who have machine guns. And a few of them came into the temple first. Okay? So before the most important person comes the security guards, and they're looking like this. Have you ever been in a place where there's the Prime Minister? You know, or the Queen? I remember once being at a party, and Tony Blair was just about to walk in. And before he came, there was about, I saw a dozen men. They didn't look at anybody. They were just looking around like this. And they fanned out through the crowd. And they were checking everybody. Just checking, just like this, eyes flicking everywhere. Just, you know, just checking. Okay, safe. Safe, 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 safe. So when everything's safe, then the most important person comes. So devotees were looking. Commandos, filling up the temple. Is there going to be any room for the Prime Minister? And then a rickshaw wallah walked into the temple. A rickshaw wallah with his gumcha around his, you know, his go around his head, you know, and his, he had no teeth and his, you know, he's, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And the devotee said, no, no, you can't come. You can't come. You can't come. Okay. And then one of the Vrindavan widows, she walked in. And the devotees were thinking, oh, these people are just chancing it. You know, no, no, you can't come. She's a very old lady, 75 years old, white sari, looks like a Bengali lady. Okay. She's coming in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Okay. No, the devotee said, no, no, you can't come. You can't come. The Prime Minister's coming. And both the rickshaw waller and the old lady looked at the Prime Minister and they said, yeah, we know. And the rickshaw waller lifted off his turban and inside was a pistol. poked the pistol in his, and the little old lady, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, she withdrew her sari, and out came a machine gun. They'd been planted in the crowd, in disguise, to protect the Prime Minister of India. Okay? Shh. Wow, you didn't know about that, did you? I'm revealing a secret to you now. Okay. So don't be surprised if Balaram comes in disguise. Please don't be surprised. Don't let it bother you that Balaram comes in disguise. And don't let it bother you that you have not had this Krishnadas Kaviraj dream that revealed everything to you. Okay? That will come. Just go with the flow at the moment. Go with the flow. Okay? So then, oh, we just have so little time. I'm going to keep it interesting for you. So he said, so then he began chanting, Nada, Nada, this is the person who has brought me to this world. Devotees were amazed, you know, because, you know, they'd already understood the Lord's identity. It was very, you see, it's not that everybody knew who Lord Chaitanya was from the very beginning. This is something we should understand. There was a gradual awakening as to who the identity of this person was, even as he was still on the planet, even as he'd left this world after 48 years. There was a gradual awakening. So don't punish yourself thinking that you don't get it all immediately. Because many of us, you know, you should pity people like me who come from the Abrahamic or Christian tradition. We don't even get Krishna sometimes. We struggle, don't we? Okay? If you come from a non-Hindu background, spare a little thought for us. You know, for us, God is still Jesus. And we're struggling to understand Krishna. Okay? And you understand Krishna, but you're thinking maybe Shiva's up there too. And then some people have got Krishna, and they're thinking maybe Lord Chaitanya is actually Krishna. You see? But what Krishna is Kaviraj is pushing us to understand and see is that actually it's Gaura Nitai. Nitai Gaura Haribol. This is what we're being pushed to understand. So Lord Chaitanya calmed down and he looked around at his devotees and he said, did I speak any mischief? This is Lord Chaitanya. He said, did I say anything wrong? Because he knew. And the devotee said, nothing, my Lord, nothing serious. That's what it says, Chaitanya Bhagavat says, nothing. You said nothing serious, my Lord. So then Nityananda became very agitated, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu caught him and pacified him, saying, please be quiet now. We will celebrate Vyasa Puja tomorrow. So that night, Lord Nityananda broke his danda and smashed his water pot. That's his water pot, not Lord Chaitanya's danda. That came later. Lord Chaitanya placed them in the Ganga, and then Lord Nityananda swam out, seeing a crocodile in the water. He swam out towards the crocodile. Lord Chaitanya said, hurry up with your bath. Today we will worship Vyasadeva. Lord Nityananda, during the ceremony, was muttering. No one could understand what he was saying, and he didn't place it. He was the mahant of the utsav. There's always a devotee who's the chief devotee of the festival, and he is invited. Oh, senior devotee. He's invited to put the garland on the guru's neck. Okay, so he was mumbling to himself, and he didn't offer the garland. So then Lord Chaitanya had to come over to him, and he had to tell him what to do. And then this was the ecstasy of the relationship between the two brothers. So as time went by, Lord Nityananda began to reveal why he had earned for himself the name Avaduta. Now, our great commentator, our great 13th century commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sridhar Swami, explains this word Avaduta. It's a Sanskrit word, and it means someone who is not bathing, someone who's not following the rituals. He doesn't conform to normal social rules. Sometimes it's a bit of a word that we use very loosely, isn't it? If someone is a devotee has sort of a behavior which is a little bit eccentric, we say, oh, he's an avaduta. No, he's not an avaduta, he's just eccentric. Okay? Or we say, oh, such and such a sannyasi is an avaduta. No, he's not an avaduta. An avaduta is something separate. You can be a sannyasi or an avaduta, but you cannot be both. Sannyasi is well within the Varnashram system and has to conform to Varnashram rules. Well, Kripa Moya, sannyasi is way, way above the Varnashram system. No, I think you'll find that there's four ashrams. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and sannyas. Therefore, sannyas is a code of life that's well within Varnashram, and it's something that you have to follow. These are the rules. You don't follow the rules, you can't just pick and choose the rules and then say, well, I'm, you know, Guru Maharaj is a little bit avaduta. No, he's not. He's just not following the rules. Okay? I just said I would tell you that. You can be avaduta or you can be a sannyasi, but you can't be both. Okay? I thought I'd just put that out there so, you know, make the cogs turn a little bit. Lord Nityananda is an avaduta, and he really didn't follow the rules. Really didn't follow the rules. Therefore, later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him to get married, it wasn't that Lord Nityananda gave up sannyas. He wasn't a sannyas. He was an avaduta. Therefore, he says here, he said, Lord Chaitanya came to Srivas, and he said, why do you keep Nityananda in your home? Because by this time, he was doing strange things. Sometimes he would wrestle with crocodiles. Sometimes he wasn't fully dressed. Sometimes he was undressed. Sometimes he would just come begging on all fours, asking for milk sweets like a baby, like a child. So they were struggling to comprehend, because this is a very strict Brahminical culture within Navadvip. These are very intellectual people, very strictly behaved people. So they were trying to, but it's well within the purview, within medieval India, that sometimes, occasionally, you would see a yogi naked, or a Jain Mahant naked, or even a, you know, Pagal Baba. Oh, he's Pagal Baba, you know. Everybody knows a Pagal Baba in the village, you know, or in the town. He's Pagal Baba. He would just be shouting at the moon, or having imaginary conversations with someone. Sometimes it was poor mental health, we must say. And there not being a national health system in Bengal at that time, sometimes the mad people would just be walking around. Sometimes, however, under the disguise of madness, we would have people who were actually greatly realized persons. How do you tell the difference? Well, because sometimes they would come away from their madness and speak volumes of truth. Don't make a mistake. Therefore, viveka, viveka, vivek. Discrimination, discernment is very important in choosing who is your teacher. So anyway, he said, why do you keep him in your house? You see, Sachimata, Lord Chaitanya's mother, sometimes Nittai would catch hold of her feet, or try and catch hold of her feet, and she would have to run away. But once Sachi had a dream of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, and she saw them not as Chaitanya and Nityananda, but as little boys. You know, little boys. A dark boy and a light boy. And she understood. That was her dream of confirmation. Okay? And sometimes you don't just have a dream, but you have a vision. Dream is something that comes at night when you're asleep. And a vision is something that comes during the day when you're supposedly awake. Okay? So one time she came to serve Chaitanya Nittai Prasadam, and she saw two little boys with four arms. One was dark, one was white. So this was her vision. She knew there was something special about him. The boys were arguing and snatching food from each other's hands and mouths. Another time, she saw the two boys with four arms. She fell over and dropped the rice, and then went to her room to cry. But Nityananda knocked on the door and said, please accept me as your son. I am non-different from your son, Vishwarupa. So this was a way to Sachi's heart, because she'd lost her son, Vishwarupa. He'd left home, and he'd taken sannyas at an early age, and she always missed him terribly. And so then he came and said, I'm non-different from your son, Vishwarupa. Please accept me as your son. meaning, please accept me as your son that's now come home. And of course, from that time, she did. So Lord Chaitanya had to tell Nityananda, he said, please don't be naughty or pick quarrels with others. He said, I'm afraid that you'll get up to mischief at Srivas Thakur's house. Lord Nityananda replied, what mischief? I'm not like you. Lord Chaitanya said, you seem to have incarnated in this world just to throw rice around the room. Actually, I'm ashamed of your conduct. That's why I always try to teach you. This is Vrindavan Das. Nityananda, he said, yes, please teach me how to behave whenever I misbehave. You clearly understand that I'm a naughty child. So saying this, he began to laugh and he took all his clothes off and again tied them onto his head. Everyone began to laugh. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what are you doing? This is most improper in the home of a householder. You just told me you weren't mad, and now you've contradicted your own words. On another day, there was a crow which came, there was a silver bowl which Srivas Thakur's wife used to use to make the offerings to the Lord. He worshipped Lord Nrisimhadev. So then this crow came and took the silver bowl and flew up into a tree where it put its in the nest. So she was, can anybody do anything? So Lord Nityananda came and he said, crow, come here, bring back the bowl. And immediately the crow picked up the bowl, flew back and dropped the bowl. And from this point, she understood this person is, he's not an ordinary person. One time there was a mad conversation. Are you okay? Just a few minutes left to go. One time there was a mad conversation in which Lord Nityananda answered each question with the answer from another question. See if you can follow it. It went like this. At the end of the meal, when Lakshmi Priya, Lord Chaitanya's wife, was feeding betel to Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda appeared. Lord Chaitanya said, where are your clothes? Lord Nityananda, yes, yes. Lord Chaitanya, why are you doing this? No, I can't eat today. He said, I'm asking you questions, and why are you answering something else? Lord Nityananda, no, I went there 10 times. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is not my fault. Your mother is not here. He said, you should have a mother looking after you. Please get dressed, Lord Nityananda. Yes, all right, now I'm ready to eat. So after he dressed, Sachi gave Nityananda 5 pieces of sandesh, and he took them and threw them off his plate and then brought them back. So then it was time, really, you know, some time had gone by. His behavior had come to a particular point, and the devotees had remonstrated with him enough, and he was sent as part of the Harinam Sankirtan movement in 1510, just before then, to go door to door. But he was sent door to door with Haridas Thakur, who by that time was an elderly person who didn't find keeping up with Lord Nityananda, who had very strong legs. He'd been walking for 20 years, don't forget, all over. He'd been to, you know, all the different parts of India, all down the south, all around the north, east, west. So he had very strong legs. And Haridas Thakur had been sitting in one place chanting japa, and he was old. So it was not easy for him to keep up with Lord Nityananda, but they would go door to door. But even then, Lord Nityananda's behavior was that he would knock on the door and he would touch the feet of the head of the household, the husband, father, but he wouldn't just touch the feet. He would grasp hold of the ankles without letting them go. And he would say, please chant the names of Krishna. Change your life, please. What do you do? I mean, even the Jehovah's Witnesses, they knock. And they don't come in until you've invited them in. But Lord Nityananda would barge in, bow down, grab the ankles and say, my dear sir, please chant the names of Hari. Like, oh my God, yes, yes, all right, I'll do it. This is a preaching technique. You should try it. So then... of course, at that time, there are two responses to the Islam in India. One was the Sikhs, which developed a completely separate religion with a martial spirit in order to combine the best of Islam with the best of Hinduism to form a new protective body for Hinduism in the name of sort of a buffer zone. Whenever there's conflict between two entities, you create a third buffer zone. That's Belgium. Belgium was created as a buffer zone between France and Germany. Anyway, the buffer zone in Bengal, there were different types of influences. There were Buddhist influences in Bengal coming from China through Darjeeling, and there was different other influences coming in. So then they had created this more darker religion called Tantric, which was really known as Vamamarga. Vamamarga is called the left-handed path, which is really black magic. So the sort of a black magic religion. And it was these, known as Tantrics, that were pretty much in Navadvip very powerful at the time. And people would come to them, and if there's anything that you need sorting out in your life, Navadvip was quite degraded at the time. There's people having wedding ceremonies for dogs. Can you imagine? And so there was a great deal of, you could say, implosion socially and culturally and religiously, which is what happens when you repress sattvic forces. So anyway, darker forces came out. So these tantrics, they really didn't like the Brahmins, and they really didn't like the fact that they'd come outside. And it was the tantrics, actually, that went to the Chankazi and said, these people are disturbing the neighborhood. They're keeping us awake at night. You should stop them. So sometimes they were throwing stool and urine over the garden wall onto the heads of the Vaishnavas that were doing, you know, kirtan. That's why they had to lock the doors so that no one can go. People were really physically disturbing the kirtan. And of course, we have this situation where then the policemen came in and they took the mridangas, the clay drums, and they called Bangadanga. That place, they smashed the drums and said, no more. That's it. Finished. Kirtan is finished. Because the devotees said, well, you know, we can't do this. So thousands of them marched up the road by torchlight and met with Chankazi. And he said, yes, I understand the situation. And look, if you look on my chest, I have the scratch marks of Lord Nityananda. Okay. Scratch marks. I've got 4 minutes. Okay. Otherwise, I'll take all my clothes off and wrap them around my head. So at another time, two degraded Brahmins, one was called Jagannath and one was called Madhav. And for short, they were called Jagai and Madai. And they attacked Nityananda. Nityananda forgave them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to dispatch them as his power to do. And Lord Nityananda intervened on their behalf. And of course, all the commentaries, as you cross from one island to another island where this pastime happened, on the bridge in West Bengal, you'll see carved into the end of the bridge there, you'll see Jagai and Madai supplicating to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda standing there and forgiving. And of course, this is a theme, a trope in many dramas and paintings and stories and songs, that if you forgive these two brothers and I am worse than them, then please forgive me. If you can deal with them in a merciful way, then kindly forgive me. And Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, he says the same thing. He says, I'm, you know, Jagai and Madai, my Lord Nityananda, you forgave them. I'm worse than them. I am worse than them. And so this wonderful play between Chaitanya and Nityananda went on. But the preaching did not stop there. Lord Chaitanya, of course, took sannyas, went to Katwa, was initiated into sannyas by Keshava Bharati, and we follow the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's not that Nityananda is not part of the story. He comes in different places. And then what happened was that Lord Chaitanya told him, he said, he's returned to Bengal, and Bengal at that time was West Bengal and what we now call Bangladesh. It was all one big country called Bengal or Goda. And he said, preach. And Lord Nityananda had 64 chief preachers, the 64 cowherd boys, and they went to every village and town all over the place. Today, 85% of the population of Manipur is Gaudiya Vaishnava, due to the preaching of Lord Nityananda and the followers of Nityananda. Due to the followers of Lord Nityananda's wife, Janava, and son, Virabhadra Goswami, we have millions of followers in the Advaita Parivar. I once asked, how many people in the Advaita Parivar? And the answer is 30 million. Now, you may not have heard of them, they may all be in India, but that's 30 million. So you add that 85% of the population of Manipur, then you call Shankaradev and Radha Govinda, who preached in Assam, you know, a huge following in Assam. We're talking millions of people. It's just that people from those countries, the relatively poor countries, they don't come out over here and say, hello, I'm from Assam, and I'm a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You may not meet them unless you go to Manipur, Assam, and some of these other places. But you should know that we are sitting here as a result of Lord Nityananda and his preachers and his preachers' followers, who all in the intervening years, certainly Virabhadra and Janava became the guru, if you like, of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and she was giving counsel to the Vaishnavas at the time. She was the leading figure, and particularly Narottam Das Thakur, whose songs we still sing. And Srivas Thakur, that's not Srinivas, excuse me, not Srivas Thakur, but Srinivas. And who was the other one? Shamananda. Shamananda, of course, was a disciple of Gauridas Pandit. Gauridas Pandit was the brother of Suridas Sarakelar, whose two daughters married Nityananda in Ambika Kalna. And if you go to Ambika Kalna today, it's a wonderful place to go, a very peaceful place. You can get away from Mayapur for a bit. And you'll see the place where Lord Nityananda became married. And from him came Virabhadra, one son and one daughter. Now, I was just coming out of the shoe room here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and I will finish here, Trinath. And one disciple of someone came up to me and said, my guru is here. I said, oh, that's very good. You're very welcome here. He said, my guru is the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Nityananda Prabhu. I said, oh, wonderful. We're very happy to see you here. And I ushered him into the temple. Now, of course, there are many, 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 many people who are the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandsons and granddaughters of Nityananda. And if you go to India, sometimes you will meet them. They are known as the Vamsa or Nityananda Vamsa. But if you Google Nityananda Vamsa, you won't find things that are too complimentary in Prabhupada's books. That is because the Nityananda Vamsa sometimes take it as their singular duty to be the initiators in the name of Lord Nityananda. In other words, that is only their privilege, only their right, that they alone have the adhikar. So many ideas, so many problems. But I just thought I would say that in closing. So today we have a wonderful festival. Please remember God in the form of Nityananda, who so mercifully came to us and helped us at the time when we most needed. And we pray for dreams such as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Sachi, who will please 100% confirm for us that we are in the right spiritual path, because God knows we need that confirmation, don't we? And just as there are knobbly vegetables that get accepted by some people who just want the taste, let us pray that the Lord takes us, knobbly as we are, imperfect as we are, but a taste of devotion is within our heart. We ask, my dear Lord Nityananda, please accept me and the devotion that I have, and please guide me on further and forwards. Hare Krishna. Shri Nityananda Prabhu ki.